how do you pursue happiness? Right, what does it look like when you're chasing happiness? What is it? What are you actually doing? Right, if I gave you a piece of paper and a pencil and you drew pictures, what kind of pictures of happiness pursuing would you end up drawing? I think sometimes for myself, I think I can start the day and think the perfect happy day will be a perfect component of get some significant exercise, significant work involvement, productivity, relationships are good, a little bit of entertainment, harmony in the family. We think about what can I receive, right? What can I get? What can I get more of, or what can I get additionally? And that produces our happiness. Jesus has a very different idea for us this morning about happiness. And he's not anti-happiness whatsoever. He actually wants to maximize your happiness. He just believes that maximization of happiness will occur in a very, very different way. So let me read our passage for us this morning. We're going to look at Jesus is calling us to a different way to pursue happiness. Why do we struggle with this, with happiness in general? And why is Jesus called to happiness through giving? And where should we apply this different way of pursuing happiness? So let me read this short passage for us. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, and you yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who are with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Father, would you please help us as we read your word? In the time we have now, would you speak to us? Would you be at work in us as a community and us as individuals for your glory and for your good purposes in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus is calling us to a different view of happiness. When Jesus, let's focus in on the second half of verse 35. When he says blessed, he doesn't mean God is looking down on people and the people that give he thinks are good and the people who receive are bad. The word blessed means happy. It means joyful. It means contented. It means flourishing. And so this, when Jesus says it's more blessed to give than receive, he's speaking to our own experience of happiness, joy, contentment. So when's the last time, can you remember a time that you quoted this verse to someone? Right? Do we really believe what Jesus is saying here? It's more blessed to give than to receive. Like, we might say that seems like a trite, nice little saying, and like maybe we put it on a poster on the wall. But do you ever like use this verse to encourage someone? I mean, I think we think of this verse in kind of a consolation sense. Like, the IRS called me and they're disallowing my exemption, and so therefore I owe more tax, I owe a penalty and interest. And then we say, oh, poor you. I mean, it's more blessed at least to give than receive. Right? Or your daughter's getting married and she says, Dad, I insist we have to invite all 500 of our crazy relatives and put them up at the Washington Duke for a week. And your friend says, well, you know, at least it's more blessed to give than receive. Right? We think of it as if you can't get what you really want, then we just cover it over and say, well, it's more blessed to give than receive. But that's not what Jesus means whatsoever. So first of all, Jesus is not advocating asceticism, right? He's not saying receiving is bad. He's saying that it's more blessed to give than to receive. He's not advocating kind of a withdrawal from the world, a Buddhism of denial. If you look at the first quote from C.S. Lewis, on the top of your bulletin, it says, the settled happiness and security which we all desire, God withholds from us by the very nature of the world. But joy, pleasure, merriment, he has scattered broadcast. We are never safe, but we have plenty of fun and some ecstasy. It is not hard to see why. The security we crave would teach us to rest our hearts in this world and oppose an obstacle to our return to God. A few moments of happy love, a landscape, a symphony, a merry meeting with our friends, a bath, a football match, have no such tendency. Our Father refreshes us on the journey with some pleasant inns, but he will not encourage us to mistake them for home. So God is not anti-pleasure. He's created the world so that we find pleasure with lots of different things. But those things don't equal up to the full joy that he wants us to experience. And so Jesus is also not being tricky with this. It's like he's not saying it's more blessed to give than receive, so you need to have money in order to give, and so really it's only the wealthy people that are able to give, and so only wealthy people can be happy, right? So he's not doing some kind of crazy logic, and he's not saying like, well, there's a relationship between giving and receiving, like, I'll just receive, and by receiving, I enable someone else to give, which means they're getting blessed, and so I'll get their stuff, and they can get blessed by giving to me. That's not what he means either. And he doesn't mean giving in a self-serving way either, right? He doesn't mean you're blessed when you give and then you get praised for giving. So the giving is just sort of a means to get something greater, people's praise coming back to you. And he also doesn't even mean that we give so that we feel good about ourselves doing some good deed, and therefore we've got our own hand returning back and patting us on the back for it. That's not what he means either. That's silly, artificial stuff. What he means is that actually in the act of our giving, and especially giving in sacrifice, that we actually connect into where happiness comes from more than when we're concerned about receiving things. That there are certain things that giving does that receiving can't do. That giving opens us up to certain realities about what life is about that receiving cannot accomplish. So Jesus is not vilifying receiving. He's not doing some tricky thing here. He's saying we'll find more joy, contentment, happiness in life when we are simply and sacrificially giving to others. So let me just reflect a little bit on that. The first thing I want us to think about is this tells us something about Jesus. It tells us first that he's concerned for our happiness. Right? The whole reason he's saying this is he's trying to give us a secret about what life's about, that it is we'll find more happiness in giving than receiving. He's interested in our quotient of happiness. He's interested in how we experience life. He's interested in our contentment. He's not a killjoy. It's counterintuitive, but it's real. But also, Jesus knows more than just about spiritual things. We don't turn to Jesus just for, oh, Jesus, how do I pray? You're a religious guy, Jesus. You know all about prayer, so let me ask you about prayer. Well, you know, actually, I do know a lot about prayer, or other religious topics. But Jesus knows about. Jesus has wisdom and truth, and good things to say to us, even about things like our own happiness that we're very, very concerned with to experience. So we shouldn't. We should realize Jesus' heart towards us, for us to experience the fullness of life in him. And we should realize that he knows about everything, actually, that we need in life, and we should seek him for that. So if Jesus is right about it's more blessed to give than receive, why do we get it wrong? Why do we think naturally that receiving is the way that we get happiness? I think there's a certain way in which the default mode of the human heart is about receiving and taking. Right, there's a certain part of us that just automatically jumps to receiving will make my life better and more joyful. I mean, sometimes our kids can be very generous, but also our kids can You can have just gone and bought them a present, and on the way home, they're not even home, and they haven't even unwrapped it. They say, you know, I actually would really like this other thing also. And you're like, we are wired in a way that we can be radically, obnoxiously consumed with receiving things. It's just, I think it's part of the default nature of the human heart. But the second reason is our whole culture and economy works off of receiving. Right? There's this massive advertising engine in America, and it's all about creating desire for us to receive more things, right? To realize how much we haven't received. And so there's almost like no part of life that isn't built around receiving. And yet, people talk about there's actually a hedonism paradox. Right, you remember many years ago people talked about the French paradox, right? That the French eat butter, fatty foods, lots of meat, they eat foie gras, which is like duck liver, all this stuff, and yet they have less heart disease than we do. Right? So you don't know why that happened. Well, people talk also about an hedonism paradox, that the more we pursue receiving and grabbing hold of pleasure, the less we actually get of it. So Augustine, in his quote, just helps us reaffirm that. Second quote, for it is not with earthly riches which make us or our sons happy, for they must either be riches and earthly things that we receive must either be lost by us in our lifetime or be possessed when we are dead by whom we know not or perhaps by whom even we would not know. That's the fragility of building happiness on things. I think one of the reasons why Jesus is saying this, that joy and happiness comes out of giving, is that giving helps us see reality more clearly. Like when we are receiving things, when we're focused on receiving things, we're actually, for the most part, in control. Right? We are controlling an environment of, oh, I want this. If I just get this, it'll be great. Right? T-Mobile is building their whole entire current campaign on, we love our devices until a new device comes out, and then we hate our devices and we want the new one. And so when we're focused on receiving, there's a certain amount of control we exercise on reality. We are blinders. We only see what we really want to see. But when we are focused on giving, we're entering into situations in life, and we end up seeing the complexity and the nuance of those situations. So you enter into giving your time to help a kid with tutoring and their deficient math skills or their English skills, and you start to realize, what is life really like? Here, there are kids that are so far behind in school that if they just keep getting pushed along, they're never going to get to a place where they can change their own economic situation. So by giving, we enter into the world in such a way that we see with complexity. We can't hold on to our simple answers anymore. We see that the problems are much bigger than we think they are, but we also see that small actions do make a difference. When we're focused on receiving, there's an artificiality that remains, right? We're constructing a happy life. But when we're giving, we're actually dealing with what is real and what is firm. But I think also, We in the process of giving, we end up seeing ourselves and we end up seeing God differently, right? And there's this quote from the book that I pulled some of this material from, of a woman who gave up her job, a really luxurious, high-paying, wonderful job, because she realized that she came to a conviction that giving is where I'm going to find more life and happiness. And she talks about how in the process of giving and helping in inner city environments, that she was experiencing more of who God is. And I think the reason for why that's the case is that everything good that we have in the world has been given to us. Right? So in the beginning, God created us. He gave us life. He gave us existence. And he gave us relationship with himself. He also gave us a beautiful, wonderful world that has so many pleasures in it. But instead of just receiving that gift, what we did was we took that gift to make it our own. And it's interesting, the word receive in Greek is the same word for take. The word can mean receive or take. In the garden, Adam and Eve, they took the gift of God and they took it for their and recycled it to their own purposes and desires. And it brought chaos and depravity and rebellion. But what did God do there? God continued to still choose to give. And he gave his son. And Jesus gave his life so that we might find joy, so that the relationship with God might be restored. And so from the Christian perspective, everything we have that is good has been given to us. God has given it out of his own mere good pleasure. And so I think it's very appropriate for those who believe in Jesus and follow him to let Jesus press us on the systems we have for how we build happiness. To really press in on us and say, how much of your joy is created by your plan for receiving things? How my plan for receiving things, and to have him encourage us, but have him challenge us to think, are we willing to take his words at face value and trust them, and to say, Jesus, show me how you have contentment and flourishing for me through giving rather than receiving. So, where should we put this into practice? I think there's broad categories that we can put this into practice. And the guy who wrote this book said this is his family's verse. They orient their whole family culture around it is more blessed to give than receive. That there's more happiness, more joy, contentment is going to come to our family through giving than receiving. And so I think there's very broad application. I think though that there's also great application towards this in the area of forgiveness. We were out in California this last several weeks ago for vacation, and we stayed in the hotel, but we were visiting my family, and my dad has been going through lots of different struggles, physical, psychological, and you've seen a little bit of that. But and granted, our family is not. When we come in, we end up disrupting things, and he doesn't like that. But time with my dad this time was it kind of just got progressively worse and worse with little comments here and there. Until the last day, he said, maybe next summer you should go to the Outer Banks. Like, don't come visit us next summer. And so And everybody could hear that this took place, but I got this flood of emotions, but I just said, fine, or maybe we'll come out here, but we won't see you. But then I got up and I went to the bathroom and I thought, I could curse, I could cry. What am I going to do with this? And I thought, the thing I got to do is, got to say, I forgive. I have to let go of this. I have to not hold this against him. And the week before we'd been at a family camp, and there someone had given an illustration about a Jewish rabbi in Germany who escaped the camps and was coming to America, and he said, I must forgive Hitler because I must leave him in Germany and not bring him with me to America. And so one of the ways, even though we put this into practices, we are more contented and blessed when we give forgiveness and we don't choose to receive. I want my rights. I want my day in court. I want to make my case known. I'll forgive. And it's good for my relationship with my dad, and it's good for me because it's horrible for me to hang on to that. And so I called him the next week and talked to my mom, answered the phone. I said, can I speak to Dad? And she's like, okay. And she goes and finds him, and it takes an exceedingly long time to get him on the phone. And he's like, oh, what do you want? Well, I said, oh, did you? And so I'm like, well, how can I engage him? And did you find your new cat yet? He's like, did you ask Mom that? I'm like, no, I asked you that. Well, why are you asking me that? Because I know it's important to you. And so started to talk some. But so to again give and to not be concerned with receiving anything, but to find that there is more joy in giving in that environment than taking or receiving. But the context that Paul is using these words here is in the context of justice. And so there is a connection between justice and giving and our happiness. So look at verse 35. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So we've been looking at the topic of justice in the sermons the last 2 months, and we saw from Leviticus to Luke and from Genesis to Jeremiah that it's a pervasive topic. It's consistent throughout the whole of scriptures. It's something we're called as followers of God to pursue. And so there's an ethical manner of the justice is ethical, and we ought to pursue it because it is the right thing to do. We also ought to pursue justice because it is what God is doing in the world. God is bringing healing to all of creation, to us and our relationships, but to everything that's broken, Jesus wants to bring healing to. And so there's a religious component. If God is doing justice and we're following him, then of course we ought to be walking in his footsteps. But that can get hard, right? You can feel worn out. You can feel guilty. You can feel like, oh, it's just overwhelming. I can't bear to kind of hang on to all the problems in the world. It's too much for me. But this passage is giving us a third reason of why we do justice, because in giving especially towards the weak, we are doing what is ethically right. We are doing what God is doing, but we're also doing what won't directly, but indirectly will come back to us, because we'll find contentment and joy in the midst of entering into difficult situations and seeking to, in small ways, be a part of that. So I think it's actually a very important piece to realize doing justice isn't all just grind your teeth, get out there and do it. That there's a way in which when you give your life away sacrificially, God has oriented the world so that good things come back to you. You don't give your life away so that the crowd acclaims your name. You don't do it so you can pat yourself on the back and feel like I did my good deed. But God's oriented the world so that there's a personal growth, personal contentment that comes from giving our lives away. So ultimately, then, where do we give from? Ultimately, I think we have to realize that God has given everything good that we have in this world has come from God, and we have to realize that where he wants us to give, but what do we have to give? And we have to live in this environment of we receive from God his good gifts, and then we turn around and we figure out how to give them to others in different ways. And so the main point this morning is happiness in life comes more when we are giving rather than we're receiving, and especially in terms of giving to those who lack. And then realizing that God himself found joy in giving to us, even in giving the infinite sacrifice of his Son, we find our fullest, most complete happiness when we're receiving from him and then giving to others. And Ken Wiedemann, Weitzma closes out his chapter with this, the last quote in your bulletin. In the kingdom of God, my joy, God's glory, and the good of the community sing together in beautiful harmony, which is why it's truly better to give than to receive. we can't prevent godly happiness emerging from sacrificial love any more than we can prevent the scent of a rose emanating from the rose itself. Joy is an inseparable part of giving our lives away. May we receive all God's good gifts to us, and then may He give us hearts that long to give away all that we can to others. Father, would you be at work in us? Would you help us to have a wonderful picture of Jesus? That He's not counting our good deeds and our bad deeds, but He's actually very interested in how we find contentment in life. And that He has the wisdom and grace and truth to speak into every part of our life, even how that contentment is built. And Lord, would you help us to receive from you everything that is good in all of creation has come from your good gifts to us. Would you help us to receive them? Would you help us to walk with you and to give unto others as you have given to us? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.